back, WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. All of our Wise conversations brought to you by our friends at Wise Markets. I'm going to get that into the end of the liners because we went from intelligent to wise, which is why I invite my wisest friends on. Before we do that, the Maryland Crab Cake Tour is this Friday. We're going to be doing it Nick's Grandstand Grill prior to the Chargers game. Friday afternoon, 2 to 5. We actually have the mayor coming out to Coco's on the 17th of November. That's a Wednesday next month, because I'm supposed to be eating Pete's in Chicago on Friday the 19th. The Ravens are certainly giving us lots of enthusiasm there. All of our Maryland Crab Cake Tour dates presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. And this guy gets together with me, you know, like we're sort of the Anthony Bourdain kitchen confidential. You know, we make websites, we do things, we're building things and updating things. And I'm going to have a crab cake module on the website. Mike Rosenfeld is my friend. He's Web Connection. He is our C, not F, not E, D.
Oh,
it's all the Chief Digital Officer. Yeah, absolutely. How are you, my brother, man? Last time we got together was it was pickleball, and I want you to know Coach Billick plays pickleball. So you're and I'm getting notes from people who do play pickleball that if I ever want to play, they want to play with me. And I'm like, I can't even friggin' walk this week. I've been out at Steve Elliott Chiropractic. I love you. He fixed me, like, really got me good for my birthday. My birthday is this week. So I just, all I want to do, we say, all I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. Also, all I want for my birthday is to, like, walk upright without pain for a day, brought on by Mick Jagger and Don Henley. But pickleball, dude, you been playing?
I have. I played just yesterday.
How you
every
feeling?
Time
you sore?
I play, no, actually, that which is unusual. It's the first time in a while. Maybe I was using some muscles that I weren't previously using, but I think I'm up to speed. No pain today. So I'm happy to report.
I actually found the receipt from Ted Drew's Frozen Custard in St. Louis, the place I went when I wrenched my back carrying the bag, thinking I was getting exercise. And instead I was getting, you know, 2.5 weeks of massive discomfort. I wound up missing the Stones in Pittsburgh. I wound up leaving the football game at halftime because I just couldn't sit and I couldn't stand. And I had to pace. And I figured I'd be better off pacing with my cat while they lost. And then they won, which is maybe me leaving is, you know, I don't know. I've won two Super Bowls with them, so I'm not bad luck. I mean, I don't look at it like that. But it has been a weird time. Look, I had you on last week for pickleball and all that. And we could talk about a lot of stuff. I mean, the Ravens are exciting. I talk about it all day. I have not talked at length, and certainly not with anybody in this space. I mean, you being in the digital space, and I'll give you a chance to promote what you do and the how long this is. What I've done is sports radio. I'm doing 30 years on December 13th is my anniversary. So literally 2 months from today, it'll be 30 years, the day I walked into the studio with Kenny Albert. And you've been at this almost that long. I remember Dave Goldsmith was the first person that gave me lessons over in Pikesville as to what the World Wide Web was, when I started going to concerts and seeing this dot something, and I'm figuring all that out, to where we are now, where 60 Minutes is investigating Facebook. I participate in Facebook. I'm not a quit Facebook guy, but there's some nefarious MFers, and there needs to be. This is Orwellian. I don't think anybody ever saw an ass clown like Trump running the world the way he did for 4 years. But the safety of and sanctity of people, elections, ideologies, real fake news, lies, not fake news, lies, and being funded by the Russian government to throw elections. I mean, the stuff that went on with Cambridge Analytica, like, I can't believe people aren't in prison. But this latest round of mind manipulation and how they're using ads, and how if I say fudge pops right now, fudge pops will show up on my Facebook thread in 5 minutes, hopefully from Wise Markets. I don't think Royal Farm sells them, but you know where I'm at. And I want to know what you're thinking. I mean, you're all, because I wonder this stuff about, like, sports wagering and fixed games and, like, stuff that changes in the landscape. Man, nothing's changed the world like this device. I have an FCC license, dude. The shit that I've seen on Facebook and those places over the last 5 years in regard to clearly hateful fascist lie, like, all of that is stuff that they would have never have given me an FCC, like the federal government. The regulation part of this is beyond – they're never going to put that genie back in the bottle. But in the meantime – who's the police on this, dude? What do you think when you see this Facebook stuff on 60 Minutes?
Well, We've seen it coming. So a lot of things are swimming in my head right now after you said that. The first is that there's always been criminals, people who are up to no good as long as human beings have been walking the earth. So you give those type of people an opportunity to do their dirty deeds, and they'll do it.
Do their Ocean's 11 in whatever pickpockety way it does that doesn't take a gun, right? This is crime that is, I mean, clearly the web. Every time I put my name or my Visa or my encrypt, you know, like all of those things that a guy like you does for a business like mine to keep me safe and running, right? And you're doing it literally right now in regard to some switching over we're doing where you're making sure I'm protected to some degree. Right. But this is different. This is like a whole different level of Facebook's just the place I go. And then you get hacked, right? Your friend gets hacked and you get sent some weird video on because you participated in some contest that was a Candy Lane game and pick your favorite this or your, like all of that ish 10 years ago was, I mean, so obvious to me, a phishing scam. Like that's what we would call it. And I mean, phishing with a PH, not the fish they sell over at Fatal's.
Right. Well, look, let's take a couple steps back for when we were, you know, younger, middle, you know, high school, graduating high school.
How old are you, by the way? And how did you get into this? Did you go to some, I went to a computer nerd class with Get One, Take 20, you know, the punch cards. Like I got taught that and I thought, yeah, the Terps are more fun. You know, the Orioles are more fun. I just went in a different direction, but I wish I would have nerded it up a little bit. Were you that nerd?
No, I was, if I was, I would say I was, but I'm an entrepreneur. I was, I owned a couple of retail locations. I went back to school at night to get my MBA, and I took a class called Internet and Business in 1995. And I was like, what is this all about? And
oh, man, that's like Al Gore cutting edge, right? Like you were in the front of it, right?
Yeah. And literally during that class, I started my firm.
Most people at that point would be saying, one day I'll own a computer, right? Like literally we were getting to that point and nobody saw this, right? I mean, maybe you did. Sure. I don't know what point the light goes on, right?
Well, that's to your point. So at that time, let's just say 1995, okay, or just before that, you know, your options to watching news was the evening news or a couple different cable channels. The internet made the world smaller or more connected, and with that, criminals or people who were up to no good had an easy way to cross borders to do their nefarious deeds.
You know where I figured this out right away? Because this is interesting, because I remember where I was in 1995, you know, how poor I was, mm-hmm. leaving the paper. My kid's 11 years old. I'm trying to be nasty nester. There's no football. There just been a baseball strike. You know, like getting my mind around where I was in 1995. And my brother came to live with me for a while from Venezuela. And he was younger and trying to be bilingual. He is very much so now, but wasn't then. And the internet and CompuServe and AOL and Prodigy, right? Those were those, the CDs would come, right? Yeah. Like you're smiling. I see that, right?
Yeah, for sure.
We all have it, right? We know where we are, right? So,
and dial up.
The nefarious part of that for me was being able to go in and find Orioles fans then, there were no Ravens. I mean, we're talking pre-Ravens, right? At least I am, for my purposes, pre-November 95 when the Ravens kind of came online. But like in that range, in that 94, 95, that was the exact time. You go into chat rooms to be talking about Ravens and somebody would come in there and, you know, ask for your birthday or like stupid stuff. You know, like people would get in a room and be an a-hole in a room and you'd see that and you'd think, okay. And then somebody got their credit card stolen and somebody got scammed. And then there's something on the evening news about be careful when you're on this AOL might be evil, you know, like you've got mail, be careful what your mail is. Access Hollywood. So like all of that, you know, it's frightening people. That was kind of early on, man. Like I was always on to the fact that, you know, the king of, you know, Siam sending me an email that he needed $100,000 wired him tomorrow. It didn't take long to start getting those, right? We call it spam now. We didn't have a word for it then.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The first thing that I remember was the Viagra, Cialis, all these like, oh, and I'm like, who, no one clicks on these things. No one buys this stuff. Why are they, you know, I mean, why are they bombarding me? But it was coming from all over the place, mostly overseas.
That means they meant they knew you were a man, right? They knew,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. But let's take it even a step further. You were telling us where you were in 1995. You were a journalist, right? Now with the internet, everyone's a journalist. Everyone's a blogger, even without the credentials, even without the education. So they're publishing inferior, in my opinion, content from.
No, but the real issue here is accountability.
Yeah.
I mean, they're doing it without accountability. That's the problem. And that's what I've always, dude, I've been on the radio 30 years next month. I had to watch it. I still do. Every word I said, I was foundationally involved in facts, always pushing toward, are you lying to me? And are you the kind of person that would lie to me? You know, I mean, I had Coach Billick on this week. We've been friends for 24 years, despite differences politically, size wise, we have a good time together or whatever. But I talked to him this week about like all this John Gruden stuff and emails and her emails and now what the league is doing to decide that they're going to make John Gruden the bad guy. And apparently Adam Schefter's now involved, you know, as we go to press with this, you know, they're taking down people with emails that were written in 2016. Not for right or wrong. I mean, Gruden should never have been hired to begin with. So I'm not on that, but it is getting a little witch hunty in that way from what they're going through in all of these organizations now for information and what is said and what is believed. It is Orwellian. It's stuff that in 1995, when you went into that first business class and I had my first AOL, I think we all saw the first nefarious thing we ever saw and then thought, all right, when are the real cowboys going to get? You know, the real cowboy is Putin.
Yeah, well,
right?
Well, that's a good segue. So if let's just philosophically see if we agree that if you are up to no good, you're skewed to live in the gray or the black, and you are you're going to find new tools to do your craft, and the internet is a huge tool that is being exploited by people who are
the most powerful tool in the history of mankind. I have never really thought about it that way, but now that I've seen it control people's minds to not take a vaccine,
right?
You know, I mean, I have a family member right now in the hospital with pneumonia who is an anti-vaxxer, and it's devastating to all around this individual. And it's true, and it's, you know, close enough to home that I'm actually talking about it with you for the very first time. But this has happened in the last 48 hours. You don't even know, being my friend and my chief digital officer. Mike Rosenfeld is here from Web Connection. We're just having it out. We're supposed to be doing around here, having some coffee talk with my Royal Farms friends. By the way, the Haloti Nada commercials the other night, I came home in time to see those in the second half. And then I haven't had chicken yet, but it's my birthday. It's my birthday. I get free chicken on my birthday. I mean, I got to call Frank Schilling, find out. That's Stronsky. But for you with mind control and where this is and the Putin part of this and the Facebook's the engine. And then it becomes, well, we don't police free speech around here. We don't police. I mean, I can't begin to tell you the ish that's been policed with me with the FCC over all these years, right? The stuff wherever the black is and the gray and the fees and what you say and lawsuits and like all of that. I'm blown away at how free people are to believe anti-vaxxed. I mean, wherever we are, whatever the polishing part of what you're trying to, whatever the Raiders are trying to do to shine up their star or John Gruden, controlling the message, right? What every corporation in America is trying to do. And Facebook has this other cowboy thing going on about taking money from, you know, the Russian mobsters.
Yeah, I mean, look, so that's the core here. The main issue is it's a private company. It's saying, I'm not saying that they are by any means. Their position is that they're trying to allow people a platform in order to communicate, and they don't want to take people's free speech away. With that said, they have obviously gone on record to suspend people who they believe are intentionally trying to manipulate,
make the world a bad place. Right.
Exactly. How they pick and choose that, depending on where you are politically, you can look at it and say they're definitely skewed one way versus the other. You know,
at well, the end spewing things like the kids weren't murdered in Sandy Hook. I mean, like it goes beyond anything I can. It puts a lump in my throat to think that these people are functioning and being supported by nefarious dark money that gets them started on the internet, right? With you know, Russian tags on their on their web credentials, and then being taken seriously in this country by large swaths of people from QAnon, you know, right on down to most of the Confederate flags I saw on the Eastern Shore last month. And I just I don't know where the end of this is, but I do know it's coming to Facebook's desk, and it's really coming to the desk of the government in the United States of America that I used to have a whole lot more confidence in than I, you know, prior to January 6th.
Right. Well, look, this is, these are the conversations, the tough ones that people have to have in order to figure out how to move forward. Most people dodge the issue, but at the end of the day, I'm going to stick my head out there and make a couple of statements. The first statement is, in my opinion, I believe that there are two types of people. There are thinkers and there are sheep. And there's nothing wrong if you're a thinker to try to fill your noodle with all different types of perspectives so you can sift through the BS and come up with your own conclusions. Then there are the sheep who just don't necessarily think they're herded in a specific direction. And they're easier to potentially manipulate. I see a lot of manipulation going on all sides of the political spectrum and all sides of society going on using these platforms. So,
well, that is a Russian theme for anyone that understands anything about disinformation, is just to flood the zone with BS, right? Like literally that is, and then that,
and
I've had many, many people say to me, I don't know what to believe anymore. Well, then I guess you're going to be lost forever. You know, you haven't caught on thus far as to what is trustworthy and what is accurate and what is real, and then had a chance to investigate it for yourself and the credentials and the integrity of the people behind it. You know, these are all things that for 30 years of my career, I've tried to think, if I don't lie, I'll still have an audience when I'm 53, you know, my 53rd birthday, and I'll still be able to do this because of the integrity that it brings. I see it, especially in AM radio and talk radio, and where the roots of all of it can't be any more highlighted, not just the craziness of having Donald Trump run the country, just watching that for 4 years, but then in a plague, having our people, the descendants of the people who had polio in this country, the people that cured all of these infectious diseases, and having a playbook that's unlike any in the history of mankind, and getting a vaccine out that you and I have taken. It's amazing to have a relative laying in bed with pneumonia right now who bought the shit that was being sold on the internet, literally.
Yeah. I mean, look, if we take this analogy further of sheep, okay, you physically, in order to herd the sheep, you physically needed to be there on a horse with dogs herding the sheep. With the internet, you can be on the other side of the globe manipulating the sheep wherever you choose to do it, hiding in your basement.
I figured that out when the King of Siam needed 100,000, you know, whatever the monetary, you know, some country that didn't even exist, right? Like, right. So when you started seeing that, and everybody's gotten that one from, you know.
Even when you were saying in AM radio, you see it, and you see these people, but you can't, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but you can't just simply send up a signal and all of a sudden, you know, you're broadcasting on the internet. I mean, look, if a schmo like me can have a podcast without any training, anyone can. Anyone,
well, it used to be called pirate radio, and the government would shut it down off of Cuba, literally.
Exactly.
Right? The reason they didn't want to give me an FCC license is they were afraid I was going to open this and give people Cuban or Russian propaganda in the world of, you know, you ain't one of them communists, are you? You know, like that. That's where this country was 60 years ago, 70 years ago. We're clearly, I mean, if you followed the way people, you know, they're taking voting rights. So, I mean, all of this mind control that's going on, but the confusion of the American public is very apparent. And I don't know that you and I saw that at get 10 and take 20 or wherever we were in entrepreneurial school, the first day of this, this has come to a very, very serious place. And do you have any predictive thought about any of this over the next 18 months that will change any of this? Because it feels like it's, like I said, the genie's out of the bottle. I don't know what anybody's going. People aren't quitting Facebook. I promise you that. I mean, it went down for 4 hours after 60 minutes. And I thought that was the most nefarious issue I've ever seen in my life. It felt like they, you know, whatever they were looking to hide, they shut the whole thing down, locked the employees out. Did you find anything nefarious about that? Didn't feel accidental to me.
Yeah. The timing is eerie. That's all I have to say. But look, you asked me the question of where I think this is headed. When we did our last conversation, we talked about pickleball. But prior to that, that day was the Facebook hearings of the Senate. And for the first time in a long time, I saw synergies on both sides of the aisle where everyone kind of felt the same.
Well, interesting.
Way.
That's why I love having you on, right? Because we have fun and pickleball and we work together. But like, you watch that. You know what I mean? You're naturally interested in where that to me, because I don't know that you can, anyone in your space who's been doing this since 19 can get their arms around, well, what are we going to do about this? You know, this algorithm robotic thing that makes hatred more popular on the internet or more addictive or more sells more ads. Cause that's really where this was, right?
And the issue basically for those who haven't been following this closely, and I'm going to just try to explain it in the easiest way possible, is Facebook internally did research and determined that what they were doing specifically on Instagram for middle school aged and high school age women was damaging, and knowing that, they did nothing about it. So it's not free speech. It's not that it's knowingly putting profit in front of the well-being of their users.
We wouldn't let drugs onto a middle school campus. We wouldn't, you know what I mean? There are things we've decided as a society, you know, we don't allow that. You know, this isn't good for our society. It's not good for our people.
That's what you say. But for every one of you, there's someone on the other side who says, government shouldn't get involved in my business. It's free speech. Let me be an adult, make my own decisions. And at the end of the day, we have to decide what is worth having the government involved and what isn't.
Well, for the beginning of the internet, people have been abducting children, and like children have been the primary target of pedophiles in 1995. Hey, little girl, you're online. How old are you? Can I come over? I mean, come on, man. You know, like we've known the danger of this from the outset, right? I mean, to your point, the first time the King of Siam writes, there are nefarious people. And then the next thing would be, what are we going to do to protect our children? You know, like what's the government? The government protects our children in all sorts of ways. We protect our children. We have a society that we say we don't mess with children in our society. We don't even prosecute them in some cases because they're children, right? And what are we going to do to protect them? And that's really fundamental. And a lot of I'm taking your phone away. Remember that one? No phone time for you this week. And I know parents are still working on that. And then I think to myself, every 3-year-old kid I see has a tablet now. It's how children learn, right? It's like a pencil for you. I'm going to take your pencil away. All right, mom, I'll go play, you know?
Yeah. And basically what they said is the kids, what is this? I forget the name of the woman who testified, but this was the most chilling part. And this is you and I, because we're pretty much the same age, we'll be able to relate to this. She's talking about bullying. And she's like, when we were growing up, if you were bullied, I knock on wood, fortunately, I was not bullied, nor do I feel like I bullied people. But the stress around getting up in the morning, knowing you had to go to school and deal with that every single day was brutal. But you were able to come home, and at least for a little bit of time, your home was your sanctuary, where that noise stopped and you were at peace. And until you went to bed and it started ramping up again for the next day. Wash, rinse, and repeat. They said in the day of the internet, that's all gone. You go to school, you deal with the bullying, you leave, the bullying never stops. It's online. If you don't participate online, you're even bullied worse because you can't participate in the process.
Now they're saying stuff that you don't even know what they're saying about you, right?
And there's no safe space anymore. There is no safe space anymore for these kids.
I don't know how boys meet girls and break up. And I mean, the drama of that was tough for both of us, right? When we were kids, like break up with a girl, there's shame and this and that and factions and all. I don't navigating that for children.
Right.
And teaching your children well, as we all sang, right? Man, it's complex, bro. I mean, and we're not close to solving it, and I love talking. Mike Rosenfeld's here, Web Connection. You got any final thoughts, man, because I know you had more you wanted to give, and then we'll all love Lamar up.
Well, okay. You didn't see me going here, but I will sum up with – you may have seen me looking at my other monitor here. I pulled up during all of this stuff about the vaccine and anti-vaccine and mandates and non-mandates and different side of the political issue – and I actually pulled up the Constitution, because everyone goes back to what was the intention, of our founding fathers.
Everybody on the internet knows what the Constitution says, Mike. You don't have to read the Constitution. Mm-hmm. I just know it.
Right.
But I can't recite it to you. But yeah, how many people have I know the Constitution. I read the Constitution. Okay, sure. You took the Constitution all this morning is what you did.
So the first thing that I came to a conclusion as a thinker, not a sheep, right? Is it begins with we the people, not I the person. We the people collectively, not I the person individually, meaning the collectively we are established as a community, right? And of course it says in order to form a more perfect union, but it does say establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, and provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare. So that's the part. So if we just say we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union to promote the general welfare, that is the founding fathers' intention when they started. And your listeners can determine, well, what does promote the general welfare be? Because the government had intended that to be their role. It applies to vaccines, it applies to mask mandates, and it applies to private companies that are being manipulated to provide misinformation to manipulate the herd. So with that said, I don't have I don't know that I have the answer, but that got me thinking. And if I can make one of your listeners think in a way that they wouldn't have before, then I would have done wonderful during this conversation.
That would mean that we, the people, did something positive today, right?
That's correct.
To promote tranquility.
Together. I mean, not just you, we collectively. So I ask people to just focus on the we, the people, not I, the person, and to promote the general welfare. And those are things that I think was the intention of this country. Look, there's a lot of crap going on. I still love my country, but it's been uncomfortable for everyone, I think. And I'm hoping we can get past and through this.
Free speech, but not bullying.
That's
so
right.
Mike Rosenfeld is here. He's Web Connection. Nobody had to find you and what you do, and you do it for me. And we're about to upgrade and do some things with our website and our web modules at Newspaper X and Tag Div and all the fun theme stuff that I like nerd out about being an old newspaper guy myself. What do you do on a daily basis to help people here locally? And we talk about trust in Facebook. Hey Mike, I got my place. I need Facebook. I need to be out on social media, right? I mean, people reach you with all sorts of things because they understand the internet does power the world right now, right?
Yeah, I mean, really the good segue. I mean, I work with small to middle size business owners typically, or executives who recognize that the web, whether it's an app, their website, social media, online marketing, should be filling the funnel with opportunities and helping them grow, but they don't have anyone who knows what they're doing inside the organization. And they're too small to hire someone full-time, so they hire me on a fractional basis, very affordable, and we give them all of our clients have stayed for years. So we provide a return on the investment in us to provide that digital leadership So, you know, we're working together, you and I. You know, you're doing a great job. You're providing content, and but you want to win, right? And you know that sure. you can only go so far on your own.
Yeah, this is the hardest thing for me. You know, I sign new sponsors up like Wise Markets and Lottery, and I'm like, I'm not trying to get everybody to listen, right? I mean, to some degree, all the likes and to have every engagement on Facebook, I learned what a toilet that becomes. You know what I mean? So to some degree, it's changed marketing, because it used to be bigger, better. I need to sell every pizza to every person in this space. Maybe not. Maybe not everybody's my customer. You know, right. I remember seeing that with you too, when they made a new album. They're like, look, man, you know, like it would be nice to say we want to make music for everybody, but like, that'd be disingenuous to what we're about. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. what I'm doing is different than just sports and like that. And people have moved and you know, I think for what Facebook has done in, I guess to end this, I just don't know who plays police for it. Right. Like I had never really, we were kids, remember 8 a.m. on Saturday morning, the Super Friends would come on the Hall of Justice. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Who's playing Commissioner Gordon? That's the toughest thing in all of this is that when I say the genie's out of the bottle, that's the thing that worries me the most. Is
well, real
no
quick, Nestor, you just kind of answered your own question, at least of eliminating one person, one group that's the police. What we learned last week with the testimony on the Senate is the police cannot be Facebook themselves. Because when they did their own internal research and found how damaging things were and chose not to do anything about it, they eliminated themselves from being able to self-police themselves. And I think that that's what's important. So someone else has to do it if they're unable to do it themselves. And don't get me wrong, it's very difficult for a behemoth company to self-police themselves. But they have to. You talked about the NFL. It's going to come out. How long did they know that this stuff was out there? You know, things are trickling out. So how well did the NFL self-police themselves? And, you know, and every organization has to deal with that.
Well, it's a cover your ass moment when your running back punches his wife in a glass elevator and you get a film of it.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's a crisis management issue that Facebook's never seen it as a crisis. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that. They haven't. There's no crisis for them, and there's no consequence. It's consequences, man. Like, right? Consequences.
Yeah, yeah, believe me. So I I love this conversation. This is big stuff. It's not easy to answer. It's for the thinkers who challenge themselves, not the sheep, to figure out the best way to do it. I have a sense that the government's finally going to get involved. There's going to be a lot of people who are like, get out of the way. That's not your role. The company,
and then you're going to say, that's not my kid. That wasn't your kid that was killed or bullied is what you're going to say.
And I'm going to ask people once again to read just the first paragraph of the Constitution. And
we the people.
Yes. Correct.
All right, man. We, Mike Rosenfeld and I together, he's a web connection. We do this once in a while. I get together every couple of weeks and talk about the world and stuff like that. I do that with all my sponsors and partners and friends because they're kind of one and the same at this point. Big appreciation to our friends at Wise Markets for providing these wise conversations. Maryland Crab Cake Tour makes its way to Nick's Grandstand Grill. At some point, dude, you're going to have to come back and have a crab cake with me, right? I mean, one of these Fridays, right?
I'd love it. I'd love it.
So I'm bringing Leonard Raskin's joining me this week with his son who plays in the other Ohio State band, not the one that did the Rush thing at halftime, but he's going to come out with the saxophone. So we're going to have fun and we're going to make this a neighborhood thing. It's all presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. I'll be playing along. The Ravens will be playing at 1 o'clock on Sunday. All of our WNST Ravens coverage at BaltimorePositive.com led by my pal Luke Jones. And we did it in the aftermath all night long Monday night talking about Lamar's greatness. Will be added this week, San Diego, Cincinnati, the whole deal. And by the way, the mayor is part of the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on the 17th of November. Will be at Coco's Grill with that. I'm going to have a whole schedule coming out. I'm trying to work it all out on Fridays and travel days and Ravens games and Miami games and all that other stuff. Now that we know the Ravens are going to the Super Bowl. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. My back never stops hurting and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.